For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Felicia Eady. 100 years ago, Forest Drive in Columbia looked very different than it does today.
It hasn't always been like this. In fact, it used to be more like a swamp, a big, wide wetland with a lot of meandering, braided channels.
Gills Creek Watershed Association Program Director Eric Miarka is with another group of volunteers cleaning flood debris out of the banks of Gills Creek. He says the area has a history of alteration.
They straightened it out, they dredged it, and they filled in the swamps the surrounding swamps to make this area developable.
The group is cleaning the area behind the public supermarket on Tritton Road. Tritton intersects with Forest Drive. It's very straight, very low lying. Businesses, schools, churches line both sides of the street. Miarka says this causes flood-related problems.
When you fill those swamps in, you're taking away the water system's ability to filter itself, and you are displacing floodwater. So somewhere downstream is going to flood that much worse.
The power of October's displaced floodwaters is very evident.
And you can see how high up the water got, because if you go that way, there's two dumpsters that are like way up in the woods, like 150 yards from the creek.
Miarka says the flood has given the city of Columbia and Richland County the opportunity to rethink how it's going to rebuild around its waterways. And he's not the only one advocating for this change.
Welcome to Walter Edgar's Journal. This week, my guest will be Professor Susan Cutter of the University of South Carolina.
Dr. Susan Cutter directs the University of South Carolina's Hazard and Vulnerability Research Institute. She was recently featured on South Carolina Public Radio's Walter Edgar's Journal. She talked about five steps to a smart post-flood rebuilding, making room for creeks and rivers, step two.
We need to think about the rivers and creeks as they're always going to move, and you don't want to build right up to them because there's no place for them to move.
She says this principle of making room for our rivers is already being used in the Netherlands.
Instead of trying to control the river through levees and structures, they're controlling the people by making them move out of the river's way. So this allows the river to take its natural course.
But what does this mean for structures currently in the way of rivers?
I'd like to thank you all for being here and your time. I'd like to thank all you folks that are out there. Eric, your group out on the weekends trying to clean up Gills Creek, which I think...
Richland County's Flood Recovery Advisory Group is known as the Blue Ribbon Committee. At a recent meeting, Miarka voiced concerns about using disaster recovery funds to help repair or rebuild structures that are in flood-prone areas.
I think the first choice, whenever possible, should be to try to buy those people out. I think it might not be such a good idea to spend a lot of money to fix a home in a flood-prone area if there's a high likelihood of that home flooding again. I think that's the way.
Later, at his office on the campus of USC, he says ideally there should be no structures in the floodplain. The alternative should be green spaces.
Along Gills Creek, people could use that as transportation from their neighborhoods to shops or to school. And it's almost like a community park, but at the same time, it's providing all these other ecosystem services. And it's also keeping the development out of harm's way.
Miarka says this type of restoration is already happening in other places across the country. And we don't have to look far to see an example of a good one. Follow the story on our website. See how a nearby metropolitan area has already restored one of its urban creeks. Hear how swamps provide many ecosystem services. And have you ever wondered what's the difference between a floodplain and a floodway? The answer in this story at southcarolinapublicradio.org. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Felicia Eady.